Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days with no catch and no credit card required. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. There are four finite resources at your disposal that you spend on behalf of things that you do. And how you spend those four finite resources determine your success or failure. And this is, by the way, true of individuals as well as organizations. How an organization chooses to spend these four resources will ultimately determine whether or not they deliver the value they're supposed to deliver to their clients, to their stakeholders. And these four finite resources are focus, assets, time, and energy. Focus is about how you allocate your finite attention. Assets are your finite resources. We all have finite resources at our disposal. Time is obviously time. It's the currency of productivity, but many of us spend our time efficiently, though not effectively. And finally, we have energy. And energy is about how we bring ourselves to our work. It's about managing our ability to really bring ourselves emotionally to the labor that we do. Well, the one resource that I often hear people struggling with the most is time. And we've talked about time recently on the show, and I've talked about some methods for blocking your time and managing your time, but we haven't really talked a lot about focus. So today, I want to talk about three ways to gain creative focus. Maybe you feel like you're overwhelmed. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel like you just can't make progress on a project, and it's because you're having difficulty with your focus. And so today I want to talk about three very simple ways that you can gain creative focus and gain some traction on your project. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So do you remember when you started your small business? I know we have a lot of small business owners who listen to the show. It's no small feat. It's really difficult to start a small business. It takes a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. And the bottom line is you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little bit easier on yourself? Our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, it's intuitive, and it keeps you way more organized than a dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. You can create and send professional looking invoices that are perfectly on brand, by the way. So one of the things I love about FreshBooks is that the invoices I send are on brand. They use our logo, our colors, and you can make those invoices look like they came directly from you, right? Directly from your company. And you can get paid up to two times faster with automated online payments. So if people say, hey, can I just pay you online? Can I pay you with a credit card? Yeah, absolutely, you can. You can do it with FreshBooks. You can file expenses even quicker. You can keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part is that FreshBooks grows right alongside your business. So you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Nobody wants to do that. So FreshBooks has you covered. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. You can try it free for 30 days with no catch and no credit card required. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the how did you hear about us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the how did you hear about us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's talk about three ways to gain creative focus. So again, when we talk about focus, we're talking about your finite attention. Now, most people don't think that they have finite attention. They think that they can just bounce from idea to idea, project to project, that they can absorb all the stimulus that's in their field of view without any penalty to anything else they're doing. And that's not true. You cannot multitask. You can rapid task switch, but you cannot multitask, at least not with your executive brain, right? So how we allocate that finite attention becomes really, really critical to our success. If we're focusing on the wrong things, if we're spending our attention in the wrong areas, then it's going to be really difficult for us to gain creative traction. If we're spending our attention in the wrong areas, we may not have the stimulus that we need to be able to combine to come up with ideas for our most important projects. And we may get into creative ruts. And we've talked about the importance of having a really broad and intensive stimulus cue on past episodes. And the stimulus cue is essentially a well of resources resources that you're drawing from to help you stay creatively inspired and stimulated by giving you some dots to connect in your creative process. Again, that's how creativity works, right? It's about connecting dots. It's about exploring, as Stephen Johnson calls it, the adjacent possible, the area around a problem, playing with ideas, combining ideas, and trying them against the problem that you're solving. Well, if you don't have things to play with, ideas to play with, dots to connect, it's going to be really difficult to explore that adjacent possible, right? And to play around with ideas. And so that's why our attention is really important, because where we put our attention often determines the scale and the scope of the stimulus that we have in our environment. But let's get to the three ways that we can gain creative focus. The first way is to redefine the problems we're solving. Now, creativity at the heart of it is problem solving. That's what it is. A designer solves a problem by creating a design that solves whatever it is that the customer wants or the client wants, right? Or the organization wants. That's a form of problem solving. And design is the tool that we're using to solve that problem. In the same way, an engineer solves a problem. It could be a mechanical engineer solves a problem to help design a product or build something that's going to solve a problem for someone else. That is a creative act. An entrepreneur solves a problem by filling a white space in the market, sees a white space and creates a product that fills it. And great, that's an act of creativity. Marketing, problem solving, right? So creativity is problem solving. But the problem is that sometimes as we're working on a project, we iterate, we try things, we experiment, we learn, we fail, and we often fail to then reassess the problem. And we get stuck, meaning that as we're learning, as we're iterating, sometimes we have to stop, step back and say, okay, are we still solving the same problem here? We've learned a lot. Are we still solving the same problem that we were solving last week or last month? Or has our understanding of the problem changed? Do we need to redefine the problem so that we're working on it in a more meaningful way? Now, I know this maybe sounds a little bit like navel gazing, right? If we spend so much time thinking about the work, are we actually going to be able to do the work? Are we going to have the resources we need to do the work? Well, I would argue yes, because here's the thing. Often a poorly defined problem or an imprecisely defined problem is the very hurdle that's standing between you and breakthrough. It's because your mind is trying to wrap itself around something that's either poorly defined, ill-defined, defined in the way that represented yesterday's knowledge, not today's knowledge, or it's defined in such a way that it's really not solving the problem that your gut is telling you you're trying to solve. Is your definition of the problem that you're trying to solve right now reflective of what you're really trying to do? Is it precise? Does it really help you allocate your attention in the right way? Or are you trying to solve something that's too conceptual? Again, that is representative of yesterday's knowledge instead of today's knowledge. So the first way that I encourage you to experiment around this concept of gaining creative focus is to step back and to redefine the problems that you're solving. So if you're working on a design project right now, and maybe you've been working on it for a couple of weeks, step back and think, okay, if I were to define the problem I'm solving today, after everything I've been through so far, how would I define that problem now? Taking into consideration all of the things I've learned over the last couple of weeks of working on this project, right? Or if you're maybe launching a business and maybe you set out to do a specific thing or a specific set of things, you have a problem set you're working on, step back and ask, okay, if we were to redefine what we're doing today, how would I redefine it? Sometimes we feel stuck because our problems are poorly defined and our minds are wired to solve problems, but they need to have those problems clearly defined in order to be able to do their best work. Okay, so redefine the problem. That's the first very simple method I encourage you to experiment with in gaining creative focus. The second is to set some boundaries. Now, I know this sounds antithetical to creativity, right? Isn't creativity about wide open spaces and freedom and no boundaries and let's just explore and let's, what's that phrase, get outside of the box, which I hate that phrase, right? But let's get outside of the box. Let's think outside of the box. Let's just experiment wide open spaces. No, actually, that's not terribly helpful to you in your creative process. Orson Welles said that the absence of limitation is the enemy of art. What he meant by that is that you need some bounding arc for your creative process in order to focus your creative energy in the right places. If you lack those boundaries, then it's often the case that your creative energy will wither and dry up on the plane because there's no bounding arc to channel your energy. And so sometimes what we really need to do is just set some boundaries. I'll give you a couple of examples. There was an artist that I read about who, at the very beginning of her, I think it was a she, the beginning of every new canvas that she would paint, she would put just some sort of arbitrary line on the canvas. I mean, just take a brush and just make a line on the canvas in an arbitrary place. And it was there to get her started because a blank canvas is very intimidating, but a canvas with a line on it or a canvas with some mark on it suddenly gives you a starting point. And so it was a kind of artificially imposed boundary that she would set for herself in order to help her create art or to get started on her art instead of just staring at a blank canvas. I was watching recently a Peter Gabriel documentary about the making of the album So. It's a fascinating documentary. I think it's on Netflix, maybe. It's called Classic Albums or something. And they were talking about how, you know, they were working at Peter Gabriel's country. You know, it was like an old cow barn that had been turned into a studio, you know, and all of these people basically came to the countryside in England, and they were working on this project. And Peter Gabriel said that he had arbitrarily decided that they would not use a hi-hat or cymbals on this record. And he was asked, like, why? Why did you decide that? And he said, well, I just needed some creative boundaries for myself. I needed a creative challenge in order to channel my energy in the right place. And even though his producer later talked him out of that and said, no, we need to have hi-hat, we need to have cymbals, there were other boundaries they put in place instead of that in order to sort of channel creative energy in the right way. So if you impose some sort of boundary on yourself, right? Or take away something you've been overly reliant on and instead push yourself to try to express yourself in different ways, in new ways. You know, and if you're working on a long arc project and you've been sort of going about it the same way, try to take a different course of action today or tomorrow. Try to stretch yourself, use different muscles, and see if that doesn't unlock a new kind of creative focus, because you have to engage a different part of your brain in order to do that, right? Because it's not going to be as natural and comfortable. It's not going to be like second nature to you. So try to set some sort of artificial boundary. Another thing you can do is impose an artificial deadline. You know, say, I'm going to try to accomplish X by Thursday, right? And set a boundary that maybe it's an artificial boundary. Maybe nobody's telling you it has to be done by Thursday, but set an artificial boundary for yourself so that it brings a measure of intensity to the work, right? And urgency to the work. And it's a self-imposed deadline, but it's something that can help you channel your focus more effectively. So that's the second practice, is to set some boundaries. It could be some sort of artificial boundary that you set. It could be some sort of arbitrary deadline that you set, but some sort of creative boundary that you set on yourself can be really helpful in channeling your focus. The third is to break the problem down. I'm going to challenge you to deconstruct the problem and to play with it a bit. And what I mean by that is sometimes what we're trying to do is simply too conceptual and too complex for our minds to really gain traction. And so if we're dealing with a really complex problem that we're trying to solve creatively or solve for creatively, sometimes it helps to step back and to break it up into smaller problems, or just to deconstruct the problem and to play with it a little bit and to see if there are different ways of putting the problem together, or to see if there's a problem set instead of a problem, and instead break it apart and then attack one problem at a time, or one part of the problem at a time, instead of the problem as a whole, right? So for example, let's say that you're building a website for a client. Well, it's easy just to say we're going to build XYZ website. Well, there are a million problems that have to be solved in the midst of that, right? So build XYZ website is not a terribly helpful way to define the problem. Instead, you have to break it down into, who are we trying to reach with this website? What kind of platform are we going to use? You know, what's the user interface going to be like? What are the visual elements we're going to use as we're designing the website? You know, is there something new that hasn't been done before? Is there a way that we can maybe sort of break the wall and sort of bring people into the experience in some way? There are a million questions and problems that you can ask, challenges you can break this down into. But you know, if you just run with the "we're building a website" problem, then it's too conceptual. It doesn't really allow you to gain traction. So break it down, deconstruct it, and play with the problem. See if there's a new way of defining what you're trying to do. And another way to do this is to force a metaphor onto the problem. Okay, so to ask, what is this like? You know, where have I seen something like this before? And it could be a metaphor that you try to force onto the problem. So let's say you want to compare it to something. You want to try to turn it into something even more hyper-conceptual than the problem in its current state. Often by doing that, it'll open up new avenues of thinking about the problem. You know, when you try to force a metaphor onto it, it'll begin you thinking down a different path than you would otherwise go down if you were just trying to think about the problem itself. Because that's another way to break it down, deconstruct it, and play with it. Really, this is all about play. It's about trying to make things more manageable by breaking them into their constituent parts and then sort of playing around with them and combining them in new ways and seeing what happens. So those are really the three strategies that I encourage you to experiment with this week if you're struggling with focus, even if you're not. Number one, redefine the problems that you're solving. Make sure that you're defining the problems based on today's knowledge, not yesterday's knowledge. What are you really trying to do today? Not what did you think you were trying to do when you started the project? Number two, set some boundaries. Right? Watch that Peter Gabriel documentary. It was actually really good, right? Remember Orson Welles said that the absence of limitation is the enemy of art. Set some artificial boundaries for yourself to help channel your focus more effectively. And then finally, break it down. Break the problem apart. Play with it. Deconstruct it. Force a metaphor onto it. See if that opens up new ways of thinking and channeling your focus on the work that you're doing. All right? Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Join the conversation at collective.accidentalcreative.com. That's where we talk about all of these episodes. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.